Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman. My name is Avram Goldhar, and today we're Zichud Erevin Daf Nun Gimel. I want to point out today is Daf 271 in this Daf Yomi cycle, which means we have now covered 10% of Shas with Simanim. So I want to say Mazel Tov to everybody who's participated from the start. We should have continued Hatzlacha learning Daf Yomi and retain what we're learning day after day, after weeks, after months, and after years. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav and Shmuel disagreed on the meaning of Marasa Machpelah. One taught that the cave was Shnei Batim Zeh Lifnim Mizeh, two rooms, one in front of the other, and the other taught Bayez Va'ali Al Gabav. It consisted of a room with an upper level above it. The Gemara asks that the term a double cave is indeed a fitting description for a cave with a room and an upper level, and Rashi explains because it has two ceilings. However, what does the word Machpelah mean according to the one who says it was a cave with one room behind the other? Rashi explains that it is essentially one cave with just two sections. The Gemara answers are kafua bazugos that had multiples of couples, meaning that many couples were buried there. Point number two, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav that the residents of Yehuda, Neskaima Torasim B'yadam, retained their Torah knowledge, unlike the residents in the Galil. Four reasons are given. Number one, to Daika Lishna, they were precise in matters of language, meaning that they meticulously reviewed what they were taught using the exact language of the Rabbam. And they gave simanim for what they learned to aid in their memorization. Rashi explains that since they knew the exact language of the teachings, they're able to attach appropriate symbols to each one. Number three, gamim mimichad rabbe. They learned from only one teacher. Rashi explains that even if two teachers teach the same thing, it might be confusing and difficult to remember because they use different words. And number four, the gal masechta. Rashi gives two explanations, either that they taught what they learned to others or they sought reasons for what they had learned. And point number three, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya said that in all my days, no one ever beat me in a verbal encounter except for a woman, a little boy, and a little girl. In the incident with the little boy, he was once walking down the road and saw a little boy sitting by a fork in the road. He asked him which path he should take to get to the city. And the boy answered, Zo Katsara v'arucha. This one is short and long, v'zo arucha katsara. And this one is long and short. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya went down the path that was short and long, and when he approached the city, he discovered that it was surrounded with gardens and orchards that blocked access to it. He went back to the boy and asked him, didn't you tell me that this path is short? The boy responded that he'd also told him that it was long. Rabbi Yeshua kissed the boy on his head and said, Ashrechem Yisrael, praiseworthy are you Yisrael, Shukulchem Chochamim Gedoim Atem, for you are all very wise, Megedolchem Ad Katanchem, from your old to your young. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rav and Shmuel disagreed on the meaning of Maris Machpelah. One taught that the cave was Shnei Batim Zeh Lifnim Mizeh, two rooms, one in front of the other, and the other taught Bayez Vali Al Gabav. It consisted of a room with an upper level above it. The Gemara asks that the term a double cave is indeed a fitting description for a cave with a room and an upper level, Rashi explains because it has two ceilings. However, what does the word Machpelah mean according to the one who says that it was a cave with one room behind the other? Rashi explains that it is essentially one cave with two sections. The Gemara answers Shekafua Bezugos, that it had multiples of couples, meaning that many couples were buried there. Point number two, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, that the residents of Yehuda, Neskaima Torasim B'yadam, they retained their Torah knowledge unlike the residents in the Galil. And four reasons are given. Number one, the Daika Lishna, they were precise in matters of language, meaning that they meticulously reviewed what they were taught using the exact language of the Rabbam. And they gave simanim for what they learned to aid in memorization. Rashi explains that since they knew the exact language of the teachings, they're able to attach appropriate symbols to each one. Number three, Gamri Mimichad Rabba, they learned from only one teacher. Rashi explains that even if two teachers teach the same thing, it might be confusing and difficult to remember because they use different words. And number four, the Gal Masechta, Rashi gives two explanations, either that they taught what they learned to others or they sought reasons for what they had learned. And point number three, Rabbi Yehuda ben Hananya said, in all my days, no one ever beat me in a verbal encounter except for a woman, a little boy, and a little girl. In the incident with the little boy, he was once walking down the road and saw a little boy sitting by a fork in the road. He asked him which path he should take to get to the city. And the boy answered, Zo Katsara v'arucha. This one is short and long. Zo arucha u'katsara. And this one is long and short. Rabbi Yehuda ben Hananya went down the path that was short and long, and when he approached the city, he discovered that it was surrounded with gardens and orchards that blocked access to it. He went back to the boy and asked him, didn't you tell me that this path is short? The boy responded that he had also told him that it was long. Rabbi Yehuda kissed the boy on his head and said, Ashrechem Yisrael, praiseworthy are you Yisrael, Shukulchem Chochamim Gedolim Atem, for you are all very wise, Megedolchem Al Katanchem, from your old to your young. All right, so now we go to our siman for Daf Nun Gimel, and the siman is a Nigerian prince, So here goes. On his second attempt, the Nigerian prince finally discovered the double cave filled with students who meticulously reviewed what the Rebbe said and memorized the warning with simanim after listening more carefully to the little boy at the fork of the road who gave directions. Once again, in slow motion. On his second attempt, the Nigerian prince, that must mean we're on Duff Nun Gimel. On his second attempt, the Nigerian prince finally discovered the double cave, which reminds us of the two different pshatim for the meaning of Maris Makpelah, that either it was one cave with an upper level, or it was two rooms, one in front of the other. So on his second attempt, the Nigerian prince finally discovered the double cave, filled with students who meticulously reviewed what the Rebbe said and memorized the learning with Simanim, which reminds us of the four reasons why the residents of Yehuda retained their learning. They were meticulous in getting the precise language of their Rebbe, which helped them make Simanim. They learned only from one Rebbe, and they taught others. So on his second attempt, the Nigerian prince finally discovered the double cave, filled with students who meticulously reviewed what the Rebbe said and memorized the learning with Simanim, after listening more carefully to the little boy at the fork of the road who gave directions, which reminds us of Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanania's encounter with a little boy who gave directions at the fork of the road and his mistake in going the short, long way. So once again, on his second attempt, the Nigerian prince finally discovered the double cave, filled with students who meticulously reviewed what the Rebbe said and memorized the learning with Simanim, after listening more carefully to the little boy at the fork of the road who gave directions. All right, now it's time for a four-block back Chazara. Daf Mem Tes. So the Simver Daf Mem Tes is meat, and we think of a butcher. So here goes. The stingy butcher, that must be more in Daf Mem Tes for meat. The stingy butcher who wouldn't let anyone eat from his tiny pastrami sandwich, Erev, which reminds us, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Hamakbin al Eruvo ein Eruvo Erev. If one of the residents of the chatzar is particular with his portion of the Erev, meaning he does not want anyone to eat the bread that he had given, his Erev is not a valid Erev. The reason for this is that Mashemo, Erev Shemo, what is its name? Erev is its name. Rashi explains that the shorish of Erev also means pleasant, Arev, which means that the merger among the residents should be harmonious. Rav Chanina disagrees and says, Eruve Erev, his Erev is an Erev, El Shinikrim Anshi Vardina. But he's called one of the people of Vardina who are known for their stinginess. So the stingy butcher, who wouldn't let anyone eat from his tiny pastrami sandwich Erev, which joyfully cost him less than a shava pruta to make, which reminds us, Shmuel said, Erev Mishum Kinyan, and Erev merges the houses in a chatzar together by means of an acquisition. And the reason a person cannot purchase a share in an Erev with money, is because money is not always available Erev Shabbos. If one tried making an Erev with money, it doesn't even work, b'dievid, because the Chachamim disqualified it because people might come to think that money is the primary method of making an Erev, and if it's not available, they might not come to think of making it with bread, and the institution of Erev will fall into disuse and come to be forgotten. Rabbah says, Erev Mishum Dira, an Erev is affected because it affects a residence, meaning it gives all of the residents of the chatzar a symbolic residence where the bread is placed, even though they do not legally acquire a share of that house. There are three practical differences between them. According to Shmuel, a kli can be used since it's a viable way to make a kinyan, but according to Rabbah, it cannot, since people identify the residents with their food, not utensils. According to Rabbah, the food can be worth less than a shava pruta, but according to Shmuel, it cannot. And according to Rabbah, a child can collect the food for the Erev, but according to Shmuel, he cannot, since he's not old enough to make an acquisition. So the stingy butcher wouldn't let anyone eat from his tiny pastrami sandwich Erev, which joyfully cost him less than a shava pruta to make, got stuck when it got dark while making a delivery, far away from the landmark tree. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Mishabab Bederek Bakashkalo, one who was traveling Erev Shabbos and became dark, and he knew of a landmark such as a tree or a fence which was within 2,000 amas of both the house and his present location, and said, Shvisa Sitachtav, my residence is underneath it. Lomar Kum, he has said nothing. The Gemara on Daf Nun, Amud Av, will explain the reason for this. The Gemara brings Malchokas, Rav and Shmuel, whether Lo Amar Kum means he has no Makam Shvisa even in his current location and cannot travel to the tree, or it means that he cannot travel home, but he can still travel to the tree. Daf Nun. So the Simfer Daf Nun is a nincompoop, a silly, foolish person. So here goes. The nincompoop, that must mean we're on Daf Nun. The nincompoop who spent all day trying to figure out how to define a four-arma area under a tree, which reminds us, on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, Rav stated, the one who did not specify his Makom Shvisa under a tree not only does not attain a Makom Shvisa there, but he also doesn't have a Makom Shvisa in his current location. There are two versions of how Rav explained Rav's reasoning that one doesn't attain a Makom Shvisa under the tree. The first version is, Mishum Delo Masai Masrei, because his four-arma area is not defined. Rashi explains that since it's not defined, he doesn't acquire anything. The second version is, Mishum Dekasavra Koshe Inu Bezeh Acherzeh, because he holds that whichever legal situations cannot take effect consecutively, Afil Babas Acherzeh, cannot take effect simultaneously. Rashi explains that the lacha allows a person to only establish one Daladamo's area as his residence. And once he does, he can no longer establish a second residence. He can therefore not designate more than one residence simultaneously. And if he does, none of them are valid. In this case, since the area beneath the tree covers several four-ama areas, and he's not specifying which four-ama area is his residence, it is as if he's designating them all simultaneously, which doesn't work. So the nincompoop who spent all day trying to figure out how to define a four-ama area under a tree, going from tree to tree with 8 to 12 amas beneath him, which reminds us of Bai said regarding Rav's ruling, Oshanu el be'ilon shetachtav shtemisri amah. It was only taught regarding a tree that has an area of 12 amas beneath it, but in the case of a tree that does not have 12 amas beneath it, Hari mixes basal nikar. A portion of his residence is recognizable. Rashi explains that since the tree's width is less than 12 amos, the middle four amos necessarily include a section of the four amos area on either side of the tree. Regardless of whether his dalet amos is the middle section or one of the side sections, at least a portion of his residence is in the middle four amos, and Abai considers this enough to establish a residence for him. Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua objected, saying there is no basis that the middle four amos are his residence, and knowing that part of his residence falls somewhere within them is not sufficient to make his residence defined. Therefore, he taught that Rav's ruling applies in a case where the tree has 8 amos beneath it, but if it had just 7 amos, Hari mixes basal nikar. A portion of his residence is recognizable beneath the tree. In this case, any division into four amos units necessitates having the units overlap, at least partially. So the nincompoop would spend all day trying to figure out how to define a four-ama area under a tree, going from tree to tree with 8 to 12 amas beneath him, finally gave up and sent his servants out in opposite directions to make an error for him. Which reminds us, the Bryce is brought to support Shmuel's position on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis that state that if one erred and placed an error in both directions, believing that an error may be established in two directions, or if he said to his servants, go and establish an error for me, and one of them place an error for him in the north, and the other place one in the south, he may travel to the north only as far as his error to the south allows, and he may travel to the south only as far as the error in the north allows, and if the two established tchum boundaries do not overlap, but have him at the center point between them, he may not move from his place. The Gemara asks if this is a tiyuft on Rav, and answers, Rav Tanuhu Upalik. Rav is a Tana, and he's allowed to disagree with the Braisa. Daf Nun Aleph. So the Simfer Daf Nun Aleph is related to gnawing beaver, which we connect to beaver pelt hats. So here goes. When the goofy-looking tour group wearing beaver pelt hats, that must mean we're on Duff Nun Aleph. When the goofy-looking tour group wearing beaver pelt hats came within 2,000 amos of the Levitical city, which reminds the Gemara seeks the source that a tchum measures 2,000 amos and brings a brisa with the pasuk that states, Al yetzei ish mimkomo, let no man leave his place, elu alpayim amos. This refers to the 2,000 amos limit of the tchum. The Gemara asks how it's known that the pasuk is alluding to a distance of 2,000 amas, and Rav Chisda answers by bringing four gezeirah shevahs that link makom from the pasuk ultimately to the word chutz in the pasuk regarding the open area that surrounds the Ar Levim. As it says, umados mechutz le'ir es paskeid ma'alpayim ba'ama, and you shall measure from outside the city on the east side 2,000 amas. So when the goofy-looking tour group wearing beaver belt hats came within 2,000 amas of the Levitical city, their guide had them walk the diagonal distance from one corner to another. Which reminds us, in the Mishnah on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigna said that the 2,000 amas are agulos, they form a circular area. And the Chumim said, Merubaos ketavu merubaas, they form a square like a square board, 4,000 amas on each side, kidei sheyanizkor lezavya, so that he may gain the corners. This means that the person can travel the diagonal of a square, which is 1.4 times its side. The Gemara brings a braisa that teaches, according to the Chachamim, that all measurements for Shabbos observers shall be like the square shape around the Ar Levim. Based on this, Rav Achim Bar Yaakov said, Hamavir arba amos b'rishus rabim, one who transfers an object a distance of dalet amos in the rishus rabim, eino chayv ad shemavir hen v'alach sanan, is not liable unless he transfers it a distance equal to them and their diagonal, which means he's not liable unless he transfers it 5.6 amos, the diagonal of a 4 amos square. So when the goofy-looking tour group wearing beaver pelt hats came within 2,000 amos of the Levitical city, their guide had them walk the diagonal distance from one corner to another, and then showed them how to make an Erev, some with their food and some with their feet. Which reminds us, the Mishnah on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis stated, Ha'ani Ma'ar Baraglav, a poor man, meaning a traveler with no food, may make an Erev with his feet, meaning with his physical presence. Remer said, Anu Ein Lanu El Ani, this law is only for a poor man. Rav Yudah said that it applies to both a poor man and a rich man, meaning someone who has food at home. La'amu ma'arvin b'pas el-lahak el-asher. The Chamim did not say for one to make an Erev with food except to make it easier for the rich man. so that he should not need to go out before Shabbos begins and make an erev with his feet, meaning with his physical presence. On our daf, Rav Nachman and Rav Chista dispute what the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is about. Daf Nun Beis. So the simfer Daf Nun Beis is the newbie to Yiddishkeit. So here goes. The enthusiastic family invited the newbie, that must mean we're on Daf Nun Beis. The enthusiastic family invited the newbie who had set off on the road to his second home to have some dinner and stay the night. Which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa, Mi she'esho shnei batim ubenem shnei tchumei Shabbos, one who has two homes separated by a distance equal to two tchumim, meaning 4,000 amas, kevin shehechzik b'derek, as soon as he takes to the road, kana erev, he acquires an erev. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda said, even more than this, that even if his friend met him as he was setting out to travel and said to him, spend the night here, because the weather is too hot or cold for traveling, and he followed his advice, l'machar mashkin b'holach, the next day, which is Shabbos, he may rise and travel to the next city. Now there's Malkovitz writing, what was Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda's additional leniency? Rabbi said that everybody agrees that he needs to verbally declare that his desired residence is in the next city. Ki pligi glahechzik. They disagree only whether he actually needs to set out for the second city. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says he does not, and he only needs to plan to do so. Rabbi Yossi said that everybody agrees that he needs to take to the road, ki pligi lomar. They would disagree only if he needs to verbally declare that his desired residence is in the second city, and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says he does not. So the enthusiastic family invited the newbie who had set off on the road to his second home to have some dinner and stay the night, after they were horrified that their other guest stepped intentionally out of the tchum. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Mishi yatza chutzot tchum, someone who exited the tchum, which Rashi explains to mean with das, bemezid, and not for the purpose of a mitzvah, afil amma achas, even one amma past the boundary, well, yikanes, he may not enter the tchum. Rabbi Yezer says he may re-enter if he went two ammas, but not if he went three ammas. Rashi explains that according to Rabbi Yezer, since a person is considered in the middle of his dalad ammas, with two ammas all around him, the two ammas overlap with his original tchum, as he holds of havras tchumim, that the tchumim merge as one. The Tanakhama holds a mezi cannot take advantage of havras tchumim, of overlapping tchumim. So the enthusiastic family invited the newbie who had set off on the road to a second home to have some dinner and stay the night. After they were horrified, their other guest stepped intentionally out of the tchum, claiming he was allowed to wander up to 50 namos. Which reminds us, the last mission of the Perek states, Misha hechshik chutz l'tchum, one who was outside the tchum when it became dark, even by only one amma may not enter the tchum. Rabbi Shimon says that he may enter back into the tchum even if it was 15 ammas past the tchum. Sheinu meshochas mamatzin asamidos, for the surveyors who place markers to delineate the city's tchum do not place them exactly at 2,000 ammas mipnei avtoin, because of those that err, meaning people wander slightly beyond the markers. Rashi gives two explanations regarding the 15 ammas. The first pshat is that the 15 ammas is lav dafka. Rather, it's an approximation. The second pshat is based on the fact that the surveyors measured the tchum with ropes measuring 50 ammas. Since this necessitates measuring 40 times to make 2,000 ammas, and one tefach and a half a etzba of the rope is held by each surveyor at the ends, a total of 15 ammas is lost when they measure the tchum. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos and Shabbos. Number 1, which after we have two versions of Rabba's explanation for Rav, why the person who didn't specify his makom shvisa under the tree only gets dalad ammas? That's on Daf Nun. Good. Number 2, which daf do we have a machlokes regarding what lo amar klum means when one doesn't specify the specific area by a landmark tree as a place of his erev? That's on Daf Memtes. Good. Number 3, which daf do we have a machlokes what the din is in the case when one walked bemazid outside the tchum? That's on Daf Nun Beis. Good. Number 4, which daf do we have the two different pshatim on the meaning of Maras Machpelah? That's on Daf Nun Gimel. Good. Number 5, which daf do we learn Chepsei Nachri Ein Konin Shvisa? That's on Daf Mem Zayin. Good. Number 6, which daf does Rabbi Shimon say that the one who wandered beyond the tchum up to 15 ammas can still be included in the tchum? That's on Daf Nun Beis. Good. Number 7, which daf do we learn according to the Chachamim all Shabbos measurements are measured as a square to include the diagonal distance? That's on Daf Nunav. Good. Number 8, which daf do we learn in the case of someone who had two houses that were two tchumim apart and set out with the intent that the second house is his residence? That's on Daf Nun Beis. Good. Number 9, which daf do we have the four reasons why the residents of Yehuda were able to retain their learning? That's on Daf Nun Gimel. Good. And number 10, which daf do we have the case of three chatzeros where the outer chatzeros joined in an Erev with the middle one? That's on daf Mem Ches. Good. And now the bonus questions. Number 1, which daf do we learn about visiting the sick on Shabbos? That's on daf Yud Beis and Shabbos. Good. Number 2, which daf do we learn that 5 boxes of straw and produce can be cleared per guest? That's on daf Kuf Chav Zayin in Shabbos. Good. Number 3, which stuff do you learn whether one can place a feeding bag and a saddle cloth on an animal on Shabbos? That's on Duff. Nun Gimel Masechus Shabbos. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Gold from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.